Good morning and welcome to our worship service. Please join me as we approach the throne of God in prayer to seek his blessing upon our worship. Lord God, we are glad and thankful to be here this morning to honor you and to receive blessing from your holy word. Be with us in our worship and bless our fellow worshipers and us for your mercy's sake. Teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, and enable us to flee temptation and honor you in all that we say and do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is Blessed Jesus, at your word. Please stand. Our service continues on page 3, and we conduct the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We join in making confession of our sins on page 4. Almighty and most merciful Father, I have strayed from your paths like a lost sheep. Out of my heart have come evil thoughts, emotions, and desires. I have offended against your holy law of love in my words and actions. I am truly sorry for all my offenses of thought, word, and deed. Have mercy on me and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Restore me and revive my spirits according to the promise you have declared to me in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my heart with your love that I may lead a godly and righteous life to the glory of your name. Lift up your hearts in peace and with joy. The Lord God, according to his promise, is slow to anger and abounding in mercy and love. By the command and in the stead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, shine brightly in our hearts and in the hearts of people throughout the world. Let the good news of the gospel be spread to the farthest corners of the earth. Open our mouths to tell of your saving truths to those around us. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 7, verses 1 to 7. We are familiar with Job as an Old Testament believer who went through trials and tribulations in his life. He was the richest man in his area. Many animals, many servants, a large family. But in the space of a short period of time, he lost everything. This was a trial and a test of his faith. The last of the trials was his health. And he speaks of it in this section of Job. It tells of the distress that he went through under what he was suffering. But we know the rest of the story. That God sustained his faith, and he restored everything to him, including a large family. Job says, "Is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hired man, like a servant who earnestly desires the shade, and like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages? So I have been allotted months of futility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be ended? For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good." So distressed he was, he thought he'd never see a good day, but the Lord saw him through it. We join the responsive reading from Psalm 119. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. The New Testament reading is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. One of the ways that Jesus revealed his glory as God is through his healing. Healed all kinds of sickness and disease and physical maladies. There wasn't a problem that he couldn't help people with. And one of those healings is at the opening of this reading. It's Simon Peter's mother-in-law who was very sick with a fever. And it's very noteworthy. After Jesus healed her, she got up and she served everybody. That's the response of a thankful Christian. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him, Jesus, about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, Everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and casting out demons. Please stand. We join in confessing our faith with these hymn stanzas that speak of our belief in the triune God. We all believe in one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, ever present in help and need, praised by all the heavenly host. All he made, his love enfolds, all creation he upholds. We all believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, who descended from his throne and for us salvation won, by whose cross and death are we rescued from all misery. We confess the Holy Ghost, who from both in truth proceeds, who sustains and comforts us in all trials, fears, and needs. Blessed Holy Trinity, praise forever be to thee. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing, O God of mercy, God of might. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord that we consider this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, beginning with verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose ambassadors we are in the world, dear fellow redeemed. Whenever the name of the Apostle Paul is mentioned in Christian circles, besides the thought of him being the divine writer of so many letters in Holy Scripture, another thought that crosses our minds is that here is a believer, a Christian, who gave his all for the sake of the gospel. I mean, everything, not just some things, everything. In the early days of the New Testament church, Paul tirelessly traveled many miles, visiting different towns and cities, and lovingly bearing witness of the gospel to many people. And in performing this very important work of the Lord, Paul unselfishly and willingly made many sacrifices for the sake of the gospel. When considering the many different types of individuals Paul shared the gospel with, there was no group that was overlooked or left out. There's some examples of groupings. He preached to the young and the old, males and females, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, masters and slaves, rulers and citizens of the state. Professionals and common laborers, respectable, and those of ill repute. And of course, the major groupings, the Jews and the Gentiles. Well, Paul had received the special calling of being an apostle to preach to the Gentile nation. He knew that Jesus gave a great commission to his church to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, all nations. And this command left nobody out when it came to the special work of gathering redeemed souls into the kingdom of God. As the Apostle Paul went out into the world, giving of himself fully for the spread of the gospel, the Lord blessed his work richly. Through his preaching, the Holy Spirit brought many people to faith. And Paul established many congregations in different regions of the world. When Paul wrote of his mission work, telling of what he said, what he did, he didn't do this in order that he might boast of himself or make a name for himself so that other people would praise him. Rather, his writings were intended to bring honor and glory to the name of God and to the spiritual benefit of those who would listen to and read his writings, his inspired writings. Under the Holy Spirit's direction, Paul wanted his readers to understand that what he said and did in his mission work was all for the sake of the gospel. These writings of Paul have been most certainly preserved to this day so that we might learn from them in our kingdom work. And while our text reveals the work of an apostle, its message is surely intended to reveal important truths and set examples for us as Christian individuals and as a congregation and a church body in our efforts of going out and gathering precious souls into God's kingdom. One important truth learned from the apostle is that he was a freed man. Paul was willing to be of service, and once he was as a freed man, but he was willing to be of service to all others, no matter who they were, to gain them for the kingdom of God. Paul testified of the compelling force that lied behind his willing and cheerful service to God and to those he came to bring the word of God to. He says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Through faith and the redemptive work of Christ, Paul and all of us share the Christian belief that we're free. Free from the diabolical power of the kingdom of darkness, the devil. Free from the carnal ways of this ungodly, unbelieving world. Free from the control and servitude of our fleshly nature. And free from the curse of the law, which would condemn us to hell on account of our sinfulness. We're free from all of that. In short, our Savior Jesus has set us free from the road that leads to destruction, everlasting destruction. And since we possess such a great and wonderful freedom through our Savior God, we want others to have a share in that same wonderful freedom that we enjoy. As the Corinthians considered Paul's ministry in their midst, none of them can truthfully say of him that he was carrying out his work for selfish interests or personal gain. Instead, it was clear to see that he had come to be of service to them. And one very clear, obvious illustration of that is that when he worked among them, he did not expect to be compensated monetarily. He didn't say, "You need to pay my salary here." He worked part-time as a tent maker. Now, he could have had every right to expect to be supported financially by those people that he preached to and taught, as God's word says, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to make it the gospel free to them. In the case of the Corinthians, some could have hindered the gospel by saying Paul was trying to take advantage of them and that he expected financial support. He didn't say that. He didn't do that. He worked for a living, making tents, and he didn't charge them 1 cent for his work among them. Paul did all this quite willingly, for while as an apostle, he felt duty-bound to proclaim the gospel because of his divine calling, yet because of the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus lovingly and willingly made for him and all other sinners as our Savior, Paul was willing to make great sacrifices for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of all the people that he came to serve with God's word. He wanted them to have the wonderful gift of God's pardon and eternal salvation through Jesus. That's why he was willing to make tremendous sacrifices to get the word out. Is not this the same kind of spirit of heart that a redeeming love of Christ works in us? That we want to be of service to all others, especially in the indispensable work of spreading the gospel, gathering people into God's kingdom, both far and wide? Are we not also willing to make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel and remove any hindrance that would stand in the way of God's word? Do everything we can to promote and spread God's word. That is our primary purpose as Christians in this world. That is primarily why we're still living. You believe in God? Well, why didn't he just take us home? No, you have work to do. We all have work to do. To do whatever we can to get the word of the gospel out to other people. That's our primary purpose as Christians. Paul revealed the great lengths he went in order to reach the many different groups and types of people with the gospel when he said, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now I want you to take your bulletins, open them up, and look at verse 22 of our text, and I want you to pay close attention to how many times he uses the word all. He said, I have become all things, not some things, to all men, not some men, that I might by all means, not some means, save some. No one was left out in his mission outreach efforts. And Paul made use of whatever God-pleasing means and measures available to him to reach out to others with the gospel. Each individual and each group of people Paul came into contact with had their own particular background, culture, education, and personal characteristics and needs. They're all different. Across the spectrum, all kinds of different people with different backgrounds. And in becoming all things to all men, Paul made every attempt to find common ground with his listeners. That is, I want to emphasize, he wanted to find common ground. This does not mean that he went along by and conformed to the worldliness that he found in this world, or that he compromised God's word of truth so that he would satisfy human ways of thinking, or that he made use of ways and means that would be dishonorable and would bring shame to God's name. No. Paul came and met people where they were at in life. And he spoke to them on their level, and he addressed their particular needs as he testified of the gospel in all its beauty and its truth and purity. Paul cited some examples of this in the portion of scripture before us today. Verse 20, he writes, to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Now, since Paul was a Jew by his race, and he grew up in the Jewish teaching and tradition, he knew what it was like for the Jews. And he could relate to them. And it's also helpful to know that in his becoming all things to the Jews, Paul made sacrifices of setting aside Christian liberty, Christian freedom, to win the Jews for Christ. Knowing by faith that Jesus had perfectly observed and kept all the laws of Moses, Paul knew that he was now free from the Old Testament ceremonial laws. He did not have to observe them anymore. He could eat pork. He could eat shrimp and lobster. I don't know if they had that available, but Before this, they could not eat that kind of food. But now he was free because Jesus had kept the law and they were no longer under those laws. He didn't have to observe Jewish festivals or holy days, which one were required. But since most Jews Paul came into contact with were unaware of this freedom, he willingly did not make use of his Christian liberty, his Christian freedom, when he lived and worked among the Jews. Rather, he conformed to those Old Testament ceremonial laws. He kept the Jewish festivals so as not to offend them, and so that he might bring them the gospel of Christ. And he didn't compromise the gospel when he did this, but sought a common ground with the Jews for the sake of the gospel. In verse 21 of our text, Paul writes of his becoming all things to the Gentiles, saying, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. Unlike the Jews, the Gentiles did not have the revealed law of God, although they did have the law of God written in their heart, their conscience, either excusing them or accusing them when they did something wrong. When Paul lived and worked among the Gentiles, he did not live according to the Jewish ways. Instead, he lived according to the law of Christ, namely, the wonderful law of Christian love. Working with this spirit of heart, Paul sought common ground with the Gentiles, and therefore he conformed to the customs and the ways of the Gentiles, provided they didn't conflict or go against God's holy will. Now, the customs of the Gentiles was not something that Paul grew up with. He wasn't necessarily comfortable with them, but he was willing to conform to them, to seek common ground to reach out to them with the gospel. To change from what we grew up with is never easy, as the Apostle Paul could attest to. However, if we as Christians are to become all things to all men, that we might by all means save some, we should be willing to change for the sake of the gospel, whenever and wherever it's necessary. I'll give you some examples. I might think of some of the changes that took place in the past churches in our respective ethnic heritage for the sake of the gospel. For example, there was a time when the Norwegians and the German Lutheran churches changed the language that they used in their services. Instead of preaching in Norwegian or German, or conducting the worship services in their ethnic language, they changed to English, because they saw that there were more and more people who were speaking English than their native language. And so they didn't want their language to be a hindrance for people to hear the wonderful truths of the Savior. And they were willing to change. Now, I know that at the beginning, they would have a Norwegian service, and they would have a English service, same with the Germans. But then eventually it became all English because most everybody spoke English. So they sought a common ground of the same language so that the language didn't stand in the way of the gospel. In becoming all things to all men, Paul also writes in verse 22 of our text, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. In studying this verse, it would appear that Paul was talking about those people who were lacking in their knowledge of spiritual things, and they were weak in their faith. And so in this respect, Paul, when he encountered the weak, he was mindful of their weaknesses, and he was sensitive to it, and so he refrained from using his Christian liberty so as to gain those who are weak and give them an opportunity to grow in their knowledge and faith in the Lord Jesus. And he patiently bore with them. Now, he knew these people didn't always know everything that they needed to know, but he was patient with them and helped them grow. This is something we need to keep in mind and put into practice, such as when it comes to seeking to change congregational life. Now, I know for years that in our liturgy, we would use a liturgy that was more Elizabethan, and the scriptures were Elizabethan, but I think congregations thought, well, not everybody grew up with this. They're not familiar with this language. And so congregations changed in their liturgy and in their translation that they used in the services. They didn't want it, the language to stand in the way of the gospel. The law of Christian love would move us to be considerate and patient with one another in this regard. The Apostle Paul was, by the grace of God, truly a great missionary. The Lord richly blessed him, gathering many souls in the kingdom of God through him, establishing many congregations. The Lord enriched Paul's knowledge and his faith, and he had a strong mission zeal, fervent love for the precious souls Jesus died to save. And he had wonderful knowledge and good judgment, and he used it to reach out to others with the gospel. Most certainly, he has set a good example for us to follow in the important work of gaining souls. May the Lord richly bless our efforts in this important work and continue our bless our Christian fellowship for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please remain standing as we offer our prayers to the Lord. O Father in heaven, we thank you for making your Son, Jesus Christ, known to us as Savior and King of Kings. And we pray that you would establish his rule in people's hearts by faith all over the world. As we have been blessed by the knowledge of our forgiveness through Christ, so also bless those who have not yet received him. Make us willing workers for the spread of your gospel message. O God, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts in thankfulness and praise. Teach us to trust in your word and to be obedient to your commandments. By your Holy Spirit, give us grace to be merciful and kind, to be humble in mind and lowly in spirit. In your word, show us the pathways to true wisdom. Now that Christ has become the sacrifice for our sins, grant that we may be dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. We pray for your church on earth, dear Lord. Save it from weakness and error, from unfaithful shepherds and deceptive prophets. Help us guard against false teachings and deliver us from unnecessary divisions. Defend us against the enemies of your church. Teach your people to be patient in hope, steadfast in faith, and constant in prayer, until the time when you shall send forth your angels to gather your own into your everlasting kingdom, when the faithful redeemed shall shine forth as the sun and be joyful forever and ever. To this end, give us comfort. Give comfort to those who mourn, patience to the sick, peace to the anxious, strength to the weak, abundance to the needy, and forgiveness to the repentant. Bestow your mercy on all of us, and teach us always to set our sights on things which are above, where Christ our Lord ever reigns to help us. We ask all these things in his most precious name, in whose name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the hymn, Spread the Reign of God the Lord. Please stand. We continue with the responsive reading of Psalm 111 on page 10. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We sing the closing hymn, Lord, Dismiss Us with Your Blessing. Good morning. A few announcements found in your bulletin. After the service this morning, we'll be having the church council meeting in the pastor's office. Board of Education meets on Tuesday at 5:30. On Thursday of this week, St. Stephen Lutheran School has their volunteer luncheon, and there are invitations for that luncheon found in the narthex on the stand by the door. And the school will be at winter recess from the 14th to the 21st. Next Sunday, we're hoping to be able to have a choir practice after the service. A letter was received from Pastor David Pfeiffer, whom we called to be our resident pastor, and it's in the bulletin. Dear members of St. Stephen, greetings in Christ. I have received your call request and want to thank you for entrusting me with this important decision. As I go through this process of prayer and reflection, please remember both our congregations in your prayers. May the Lord's will be done to give his blessing to all of us through the process of prayer and dependence on him. I will be in touch with your president in the coming weeks. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. May the Lord be with you. David Pfeiffer. And as you see the notes here in the bottom of page 12, all the different calls and retirements and so on, you see that our teacher, Michaela, has accepted the call to serve as teacher at Trinity Lutheran School, Watertown, South Dakota. You know, my wife is a very observant woman. She pointed out to me last week, you know, when you announce in the bulletin that Michaela has the call to Watertown, you put down Wisconsin. There is a Watertown, Wisconsin, but no, South Dakota. That's where she will be going. May the Lord bless her work there. May God in His grace be with you always.